Okay, Jiten Dumbo Shepki Nande Nuba Mepa Guba Numa. The end of the third line, oh, by the way, it says here, she shines that light from the Hoon letter at her heart, okay? And then she, and from her tutare, okay, her mantra, and then she crushes underfoot all the seven worlds. What seven worlds are we talking about? Those of you who know, okay, we're talking five parts of the desire realm, and the form realm and the formless realm. There are other realms, there are two other realms that you can't see, which are still suffering, okay? They're called like short-term God births, okay? Like they're temporary paradises. You get there by doing very spaced out meditation, okay? If you do a meditation which is just spaced out, it causes you to be reborn in one of those two realms, okay? Why do you get reborn as this beautiful, lovely, temporary pleasure being? It's a very simple fact. Most of us are running at a negative credit card karmically. Just by talking, we get in trouble. More of what we say is negative than what we say is positive. Every time you open your mouth, the odds are you're going to charge your credit card. Okay? All right? Okay. Not kidding. Not kidding. If you can keep your mouth shut for any measurable period in your life, you actually avoid losing that much karma. Credit. So people who spend many, many months or weeks, years, quiet in meditation, at least can't lie to anybody, can't commit sexual misconduct, stealing, killing. They're sitting on that cushion, okay? Based on that, they collect not so much bad karma. They go to this, what we call a higher realm, in the realm of suffering, called the form realm, in which they have these beautiful bodies. And then the formless realm, where they're so spaced out, they don't even have a physical body. It's just a mind, okay? And those are the three choices for a person who dies here if you don't practice well. Okay, just watching your breath, for example, is dangerous, and that's described in the scriptures as dangerous, okay? Use it to get into meditation, then for God's sake, shift the meditation to something meaningful, you see what I mean? Like compassion, or thinking about emptiness, or examining your behavior, or something meaningful, okay? But just spacing out will get you this kind of a temporary bad, nice place, and from there you go down, okay? So duh here refers to desire realm. Chok means neri, which are 17 levels of the form realm. It's a code word for form realm. And namka is a code word for the formless realm. So basically they're just saying she fills the entire universe with the light from her heart. Okay? The entire Buddhist version of the universe. Okay? The ma, by the way, at the end of every other line is woman. Okay? Woman. And it's very powerful in the Tibetan and the Sanskrit. It's woman. You know, you start out woman. A woman means in Buddhism wisdom, okay? It's the wisdom side of things, okay? So it's this constant thing, well, they'll be repeating woman throughout the whole thing. And you'll see it in the English translation, okay? Every time they say woman, you're supposed to remember wisdom, okay? Which is the pen thing, okay? That's the seven realms. Well, what are the seven realms? Five parts of the desire realm, form realm, formless realm. What are the five parts of the desire realm? You don't have to worry much about it. This is just for people who are going to have to translate this thing later, which is him. Okay, Nyawa, which is a hell realm. Yidat, which is what we call a hungry ghost, like a haunted house ghost or something like that. Dundo, which means an animal. Mi, which means humans. And then Hla, which means temporary deva. And they don't divide up the Hla. So you get five desire realm creatures, and then form and forms. That's what it means when it says, she crushes underfoot the seven worlds. What does it mean to crush those worlds? The commentary says she breaks them. What does it mean to break them? Like, we have earthquakes in San Francisco or what? What it means is she stops the suffering of those seven worlds, okay? Like, people don't have to be there anymore. She crushes that whole concept of people having to live in this broken world, okay? What's a broken world again? It's hopeless. I mean, if this is not true, it's hopeless. I mean, why are you alive? I had close friends and family commit suicide. I mean, it's not crazy. If you're going to die anyway, you got to get old, and everybody's killing each other, and there's wars going on, and all the things you work for, you have to lose at the end, then it's almost pointless. You know what I mean? So she crushes that condition. You know, she's actually going to stomp on it, meaning under her foot, she's crushing that condition. You don't have to live like that. This is an error that you did in the past. You can fix it. You don't have to go through this kind of realm. There are other places to be. Her mandala is a place you can reach. And it is a paradise. And I'm not talking like Ben and Jerry's ice cream all day, okay? I'm talking, consider the most blissful experience you've ever had and the most blissful instant of that experience in this lifetime. And she's having that feeling all the time from every object. Like if she walked into this room, the fan would make her feel that way. The floor would make her feel that way. If you tapped her on the shoulder, she'd, you know, you see what I mean? Every object makes her feel that way. This is different, and it doesn't stop. And she doesn't get old. And she's totally compassionate. Like, okay, it would be boring to sit there and eat ice cream all day. In the meantime, she's capable of sending out millions of emanations to help people all over the universe at the same time. Now that's a meaningful way to spend your life. You know, eat ice cream all day, and then, no, I mean, and then be out serving ice cream to the humanity at the same time. You know, that's what she does. So it's not like boring. People have told me, oh, that sounds boring. It's not like that. She's got the biggest business in the universe. She's running the hugest corporation. She has the most employees. You know, 7 million, that's a Chewat Dun. 70 million of emanations are out working under her management, you know, while she enjoys her paradise. That's her quality. That's what she does, okay? It's not boring or somehow unchallenging or something like that. Not like that. Lupa Mepa Gupa Numa. Gupa here, if you don't know, it means Gupa, we have it in the Vajogini Sadhana, and it means to go out and hook somebody. So she's going out and hooking people. That's why she looks foxy, okay? That's the whole point. You know, if Tara showed up in our civilization, in Western culture, she would look like a fashion model or whatever you find most beautiful, the most handsome, hunky guy you could imagine. But she would emanate that way for you. Okay, her quality is that she reads your mind, and then she's emanating that way right away. Okay? And Gupa means she goes and hooks people. She entices people with her appearance. And she won't look Tibetan with, you know, weird headdress. And she won't walk down Speedway Boulevard like that. Okay? No, really. She will walk down in the most attractive form what you find attractive, as a man or a woman. And she will entice you. Okay? Which means you have to be careful about your old high school girlfriends and boyfriends, okay? Could have been Tara. And I'm not kidding, okay? She does that. That's what she does for a living, okay? All right, that's her job. Verse number 7. We're almost, six, sorry. We're almost caught up with yesterday. I can make it. Okay. I'll read it, yeah. I'll give you a link for it. 6 we did. No? We did. We did, but I'll do it again. Chaksa tuta. Chata tutara hung yi ke, tutan chata nam ka kama, jiten dumbo shaki nente, lupa mepa gukma mnuma. Okay? Verse 6. By the way, we'll take a break after verse 17, have some coffee. No danger of falling asleep. Okay. Chakta gyatin mepa tangba, lungsa nato wansu churma, jumbo rolang tisa namdang, nurjan soki dune turma. Okay. This verse is describing her paradise body and how all of the, we call the worldly gods, okay? Buddhism has a pantheon much like the Greek gods, you know, or the Norse mythology or something like that. And this is a reference to, okay, she's already been bowed down to by Buddhists and Bodhisattvas. Now the worldly gods are going to come and give their respect to her, okay? And I'm going to go through the English for those of you who care, because it took me about 2 hours to figure it out. 100 gifts is maybe a bad translation, I don't know yet, for Chakra or Indra, okay? Which is the worldly god of the eastern direction, okay? So keep track here. Spirit of fire is called Agneya, and that's the worldly god of the southeast. These are going to be the 10 great protectors of the world, the most powerful pleasure beings. Angel of Purity refers to Brahma, which is protects the, we call four cardinal directions, the four ordinal directions, and then up and down. So Brahma's in charge of up. That's what 10 directions means, if you ever wondered. It's 4 plus 4 plus up and down. Spirit of the wind is Vayu, and that's northwest. Vayu, V-A-Y-U. Host of perfect power means a big bunch of miscellaneous gods, okay? They are servants of Ishvara, whose nickname is perfect power, okay? So In there is included a guy named Shinjei. Shinjei is Yama, the Lord of Death, and he's in charge of the South. At the end, we should have 10 directions, I quite hope. Now we go down to their, what do you call those slimy assistants of an evil guy?
Henchmen.
Henchmen. Yeah, okay. We got four groups of henchmen at the very end of the verse, okay? Spirits is the servants of Ishvara, Wangchuk, which is again back to, what was that? I don't know. East maybe. Walking Dead is a reference to the spirits of a spirit called Simbo, okay? And Simbo is Southwest. Simbo means like witch, okay? More protectors, more great. They are henchmen of the major worldly deities. How's that?
The henchmen
are
possibly simply evil
ones. Yeah, they are. These are the
evil in the good way now?
No, evil in the bad way. Okay. Yeah, these are they appear to us as worldly problems. You know, like if you get sick, then they'd say one of them had influenced your body or something like that. Okay. Scavengers are the assistants of Chakra, and that's again the East. Demons are the assistants of Ugly Man, which is Kubera, okay? And that's the North. I think we got all the directions, maybe. Gee, you got 10 directions. We didn't do down, did we? We'll say the second miscellaneous god are called Nagas. And those are under the earth. This is supposed to be under the earth. So anyway, you got 10 directions there. Boring, right? Anyway, it took me so long to figure out I thought it was important. Worldly deities, you know, powerful beings that you can't see because they live in a parallel realm and run their own little kingdoms there and then die and go to a hell realm. Okay? I'm afraid that in some practices, maybe people saw that paradise, got attracted by it, tried to get there, and then got there, and then died, and... Okay, there are two kinds of paradises. One is like a deceptive paradise. It looks good for a while. And then there's an ultimate paradise, which is actually the pen thing with your own body and mind. Okay? All right, verse number 7, you okay? And then we'll take a break after that. Chakta teche chadam peki paro tuko rabdu joma yekum yinkyang shabgi nente membar tuba shindu barma. Okay? This is a praise to her paradise body in the aspect of destroying evil spirits or evil influences. Okay, some of them overlap, okay? There's two what we call kick butt words here. One is called chet. One is called pet. Okay. When you do them in a tantric ritual, you do this special mudra, which I can't show you. But it's like a very much that spirit. You know, in the spirit of that tanka back there, which is like, the literal meaning of chet is I want to rip your head in two, okay? The literal meaning of pet is I'd like to split your head in two, okay? In Tibetan it's called chepa, chelwa, and gepa, okay? And they have those meanings. Chelwa means frel, means okay? It's onomatopoeic. And then gepa means to cut like a piece of wood. Okay, so pet means I split your head in half. Okay, you've seen those Viking 13th Warrior if you haven't seen it. Okay, you know, like, and then the guy's just two pieces. Okay, that's pet, and then Chet is like, that's what the other guys were doing in the movie, the little barbarian guys. Okay, they're just ripping people's heads off. All right, if you missed it, you got to see it. Okay, Paro Chuko Rabdu Joma, the evil machine, the traps that others set, refers to evil spirits. Evil influences, curses that people have put on you, evil mantras that people are saying about you, stuff like that, like black magic, stuff like that, okay? That's what the machine means. Evil machine here means like little machinations of evil spirits or stuff like that. We don't believe in them, so we're blissfully ignorant while they do their thing, okay? Do evil spirits exist? Of course they do. What do they look like? And there's a joke in the Tibetan scriptures. They don't have horns and long tails and, you know, they're more likely to come up to you and say, I heard you're going over to Peggy's this afternoon. You say, yeah. They say, well, it's a great movie, you know. Maybe you want to come with me, you know. And they're more likely in our universe to be sophisticated. What do they call that? Clever, savvy, and in a funny way, irreverent, or they're incapable of having a sacred feeling about anything. You see, I mean, they're smart, clever. What's the word where you put down things? Cynical. You know, and you say, I'm going to do meditation. They're like, yeah, right. You know, you say, I believe I could reach Tara's mandala. And they're like, yeah, well, you better get to work because we only got 15 minutes to finish this project. And, you know, they're just scoffers. Those are the demons. I mean, those are really dangerous people. And I'm not kidding. And I'm not being Billy Graham-ish, okay? You have this sense of wonder. You have this sense of the sacred. You believe you could meet Tara. You know, you see a rock that almost looks like her right foot, and you're like, look at that rock, you know? And then people are like, what are you, naive? Or you are, you know, they think you're just naive. They think that you're childish. You're not realistic. And that's a very evil thought, okay? You should dream. You should have visions. You should think the rock looks like Tara's foot. You should go around thinking this world is sacred. And if you don't, it's because you didn't understand the pen thing and you're not keeping vows. Okay, you're not keeping an ethical life. You're not following some kind of pure life. Because if you did, then all this stuff would be happening. And you'd be one of those naive people that says, I can't believe that Peggy had this Tara Tanka and two of my students needed to know about Tara by Monday. And so I had to do it on Friday on the plane. And then, is this just a coincidence or what? You know what I mean? And then if you think it is just a dumb coincidence and that people are just normal people, then the demons have got to you. You see what I mean? If you lose the sense of the sacred, and you just take everything as, oh yeah, that's just a coincidence, okay? Very dangerous, yeah.
Cool.
It's not Jessima?
Yeah.
Jessima?
Yeah, no.
From Vancouver?
Yeah.
Ooh. When? You gotta give me the information. Okay. She's very wonderful. She's very great. Very high lama. Okay, cool. You can show off, you can show this, but she's a very, very high lama. One of the highest women lama in the world. Maybe the highest. Anyway, you should see. Okay, last thing on this one. On the third line, it says her two legs, okay? She's got right leg bent. In this one, she's not. But I think this is referring to the wrathful kind, although we didn't get there yet. It represents one of her legs. The left one represents emptiness, which is the pen thing, and then her right leg represents compassion. Okay. Yeah. Pretty much. All right. The last line was a little hard to translate. It was like she blazes in flame. The flame does battle with itself, like there's this big fighting of the flame, and then finally it just burns the hell out of everything, meaning your negative qualities, okay? And so we translate it as blazing, hurricane, and hellfire, but you should imagine it as, you know, pretty hot flame, incredibly hot flame, and then the flame like an atomic bomb or something, and that's what she does to her enemies, which is your negative qualities, your jealousy, your anger, your desire, things like that, okay? We're going to start next with verse 8, begins the real vicious emanation of Tara, the wrathful one, okay? So I think you better take some refreshments first, okay? So we're at verse 8. I'll read the verse and then I'll give you a short explanation. Chasaturi jigba chemo, dugi pao namba joma, chuki sheni choni denze, dao tante mali suma. The interesting things here are when it says ture, she's roaring forth the sound ture. Ture means fast woman, okay? And it's part of her mantra. If you learn her mantra, Om Tutare Ture, so hot. Ture, the ture part means she moves, she acts quick. She does her thing quickly, okay? Jigpa Chemo means she's very frightening, looking, okay? So already you've got two parts of her, how she sounds and how she looks. Ture means she roars her mantra, okay, and then she looks very fearsome. Okay, to whom? to your negative side. See, I mean, to your negative emotions, she looks frightening. Okay. I'm gonna see if I have. Yeah. Okay. Dukipa Wall Number Doma means the greatest warrior of every living demon. Greatest warrior of the demons. There's four demons in Buddhism. Okay. Four kinds of demons. And the Bao means the worst one of them all. Okay. The four demons are this. For those of you who don't know, first one is called the demon of your body and mind. Okay? Meaning the body and mind that you have right now. Okay? Your body right now, if you leave it that way, is going to kill you. In Buddhism, we say that left untouched, the body will still kill you. You see, if you don't get hit by a car, your body will self-destruct from the inside anyway. Okay? I translated for the Dalai Lama's doctor 20 years ago, Yeshe Dunden and his other doctor. And they both said the same thing. You know, they said the condition of health is an accident, and it's abnormal. Okay, and the normal condition of the human body is to be out of sync, and illness is the normal condition of a human body, because you have the organs are each working against each other. You know, one of them cools the body, one of them heats the body, one of them's job is to digest food, the other job is to not digest food, and they're actually working at odds with each other. Sooner or later, one of the organs within you will become, its power will go too far. If the one that cools you gets too strong, you get pneumonia. If the one that heats you gets too strong, you get liver problems. Like this, this is Tibetan medicine, but it's the same. If one organ gets weaker than the others, then you die, because they just overwhelm it. Okay, so you have the ingredients for your death are under your rib cage, okay? And you don't need anything else to kill you. That's the first of the four demons, all right? And your current state of mind, okay? I mean, the current state of mind wherein, which is insane, okay? Which is insane, literally, okay? The state of mind which gets jealous is insane. Jealousy means I'm not happy that you're happy. And that's insane. That's a kind of insanity, okay? I mean, they don't lock us up for it. But it's just crazy. You know, of course you should be happy if someone else is happy. But our tendency is the opposite, and that will kill you. According to the highest teachings of Buddhism, Tantra, those emotions, negative emotions, choke your spiritual body, which makes your physical body age. Gray hairs, wrinkles, bald spots, all that are a direct result of the negative emotions. If you didn't have them any at all, your health would reverse. Your aging would reverse. And that's what we try to do in Tantra. Okay? The basis of Tantra, therefore, is being a good person. Okay? Which is a lot harder than all that stuff you heard about Tantra before. Okay. Second of the four demons is your own negative thoughts. Okay? And we're going to meet them later. There'll be six main ones. But they include pride, jealousy, disliking other people. Okay? The third one is confusing. Those of you who studied Buddhism, it's called the child of the gods. Okay, the child of the gods. The child of the worldly gods. And, you know, I used to wonder a lot, what the heck are they talking about? What does that mean? You know, it's confusing. And I checked in. We have a database of ancient scriptures. So I checked in there this morning, and it said, there's one reference that says, by the way, this doesn't mean what it sounds like. It refers to your subtle inability to understand the painting. Okay? It's the subtle inability to understand that you are making this a pen with your perception. It's not a pen from its own side. Okay? There's no penness in this thing. It's just a white and blue cylinder. Your mind makes it a pen, driven by your past actions. Okay? That's why it's so important to be good, because then it'll drive you to see things differently in 6 months. Okay? That's called karmic gardening. All right, and that's the business that Buddhists are in. Fourth one. Fourth one is Chidag. Chidag means the Lord of Death. Okay, the last of the four demons is the Lord of Death. Now, which one of these four do you think is hardest? Which one is the most difficult? Actually, number three, I would think. Number three is the subtle form of number two. Okay, those of you who want to get advanced. Okay, number three is the ultimate form of number two. When you get rid of number three, you reach Nirvana. Okay. Anyway, number two is the generally considered the hardest, which is to get rid of your own negative emotions. Okay? He is the greatest warrior of every living demon. That's who they're talking about in this verse. Okay? Your own negative thoughts. Okay? So the very first reference we have to Tara in her violent, wrathful, tear your heart out form is she overcomes the worst of all demons, which is the negative thoughts in your own mind. And that's what she's there for. That's why she's acting so rough, okay? The third verse is kind of funny if you know Tibetan. Chukye Sheni Trunyu Danze. Chukye means waterborne, means a beautiful, soft, gentle, fragrant lotus flower. Okay. The next two words, Tronya means face twisted in horrifying wrath. So it's this incredible thing. Suddenly her face has shifted. You know, why? Your jealousy just met her. You see what I mean? Like when you look at her, she's a sweet, nice, beautiful lady. And then the minute one of your negative emotions comes up, she's there to rip his heart out. And that, and then when your jealousy looks up at the last minute, you know, it's like, you know, and it's just, her face has suddenly changed. Okay, that's the meaning of the third line. Okay, Dharal Tante Mother Supa. By the fourth line, she has enlightened you. Okay, second line, she got rid of your negative emotions. That's nirvana, by the way. To lose your negative emotions forever is nirvana. Number four is higher than that, despite what Time Magazine said the other time. They said if you're really lucky, you get to nirvana, but if you don't get there, you can get to enlightenment. It's okay. But anyway, fourth line refers to the destruction of the final enemy, the final two enemies, which is Shejup and Nyundup, meaning obstacles to total omniscience, obstacles to total enlightenment, okay, which are very, very subtle, much more subtle than negative thoughts. Okay, these are things that block you from seeing every object in the universe. So the human mind has the ability to do both. After a lot of work and understanding the pit called nirvana, okay, if you keep going, you can reach enlightenment, which is destroy all the obstacles, subtle obstacles that prevent you from seeing what's happening in Kansas City right now. Okay, that's called omniscience. So it's higher than nirvana. It's one thing to get rid of all your negativities. It's another thing to reach the state of an enlightened being. Okay, the fourth line here means she's going to kick the butt of both of those in you. She's going to help you reach highest enlightenment. Okay, that's the meaning of the. That's why they say to the very last man, at the end of the line, at the end of the verse. To the very last man means she will destroy even the most subtle obstacle in your mind to becoming a Buddha yourself. Okay. Number nine. Chakso konjo sumtun chage, somu tuka number gamma, maro chok kolo gambe. Rangiyuki Sogna Turma. Okay? This is referring to her hand, and she's holding the lotus in her left hand like this. She's using her middle finger and her thumb to hold the lotus, classically. Okay? Here it's a little bit, I think it's drawn that way, but classically it should be like this. Okay? And she's holding it like that. Especially in the raffle form, she's like that. Okay? And it's like an umpire, okay? It's like, you know, it's saying three jewels. All right? It's Buddha Dharma Sangha, okay? That's why she has one finger down. Okay, first finger, third finger, and fourth finger are representing the ultimate protection in Buddhism, which is Buddha, the teachings, and people who have seen emptiness directly. Okay, Buddha Dharma and Sangha. So that's why, that's what it means here when it says, you are dressed in the jewels. Jewels means she's almost like, this is like she's ready to go out because she's got this pendant on. Okay, like alamkara in Sanskrit means ready to go, and it's the word for jewel, jewelry. And it means, this is how, when she dresses up to go out, she's got this on. You see what I mean? She's got that mudra on. And that's all she needs when she goes out, okay? Jewel of fingers at your heart in a gesture that recalls the supreme and precious three, meaning the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, okay? That's a description of her left hand, okay? Now her right hand, is adorned with a wheel sending in every direction. There is armies of light and brightness battling. We don't have, I think, actually this is it, yeah. This is called, this mudra with her right hand is called Chokjin. Say Chokjin. Chok means the highest thing you could ever get. Jin means she gives it to you, okay? And that's a classic gesture. On the right knee with the palm up is called the Chokjin Mudra, okay? That mudra or gesture means giving you the highest attainments, okay? We say there's worldly attainments and highest attainments. Worldly attainments fly in the sky, walk on water, stuff like that. Highest attainments, destroy your negative thoughts, okay? Be able to see all beings in the universe and serve them simultaneously, okay? This is what this gesture means, okay? That's her right hand. Rangi Yuki Sonatugma just means she's sending out light and she's destroying negativity, okay? From the right hand. So all of these mudras represent, and there should be a wheel or, typically there's a wheel on her hand, and that represents that she's able to send out this light that destroys negativity, okay? We couldn't find a painting, we found an eight-armed wrathful tar, but we didn't find the one that they're talking about here. There's like a lot of them, okay? There's at least 21 different forms that you see in Tonka. Okay, number 10. Chakta rapta gawa jipe ugyen uki tawa pelma shepa rapshe tutarayi tutan jita wandu zema. Okay? This is referring to her ugyen and her shedda. Okay, ugyen means that thing on top of her head, like a crowning jewel, a jewel on her headdress. Okay? And then Shedra means the sound of her laughter. Okay? She's supposed to be laughing, especially the violent one. Okay? All right? Now, here it is. The first one is how her... she's sending out light rays from this head ornament, okay? And if you read in the first verse, it says, Gawajipe, brings greatest pleasure and overwhelms us as well, okay? Who does it bring greatest pleasure to? The beings whom she helps get enlightened, okay? For them, this is pleasurable, okay? This light coming out of her head, okay? The jipa part means, the silky numba means she overwhelms those who don't have any faith in her, okay? By the way, somebody asked me, is it bad to be a scoffer? I kind of like scoffing. There's two kinds of scoffing, okay? One is like, you come up to this person and say, I was meditating last night and I think I saw tar or something like that. And they go, come on, you just had a good burrito. You know what I mean? And that's scoffing, all right? Skepticism is different, okay? The Buddha said you must be skeptical. You must question. Otherwise, you'll get in trouble. There are lots of weird spiritual teachers around. There's lots of weird teachings running around. 99% of them are false or made up by somebody or might hurt you or waste your life or your time. And you must be skeptical. You must be critical. You must ask questions, okay? So there's a difference between scoffing and asking questions, you know? Scoffer would say, you probably had just a good burrito. You know, a critic would say, what kind of burrito? You know, how did it lead to the vision? You know, could I repeat this experience? You know what I mean? There's a difference between those two things, okay? One is making fun. And getting the person not to believe in something sacred. The other one is like, okay, prove it to me. You know what I mean? There's a big difference, okay? You have to be the second kind. A Buddhist, a well-educated Buddhist has to be critical and has to question and debate until they're satisfied. And if you accept things just because some nice guy came and said it, you'll be in trouble after a couple of weeks, okay? All right. This is talking about this light she's sending out. Now, what about her laughter? That's the second two lines. In the Tibetan, a woman of the madman laugh, the shriek of Tutara, that brings the demons in the world down upon their knees, okay? Shepa She means to laugh, okay? Tutara, we had it already, and it meant to free you from your torment, okay? And she's like roaring with this laugh, like this mad laughter, and yelling out, Tutara, okay? I can't do it because I'm shy, all right? But she's doing that, okay? Apparently she's roaring with this maniacal laughter at the demons, at your negative qualities, and they're like running away, okay, like that. Sorry? Tuta means to be tormented, and Ra means to free someone from being tormented. So Tuta Ra means she's screaming out, free from your torment, and she's, ah, you know, and all the negativities are running away, okay. I can't do it. It sounds like Led Zeppelin or something, okay. All right. I mean loud. Really loud. Like rips your eardrum out. Okay. Seriously, like that. Okay. The Pierce form. How are we doing on time? What time are we supposed to stop this class? At 5? This particular session? At 5:30? What time we got now? Good. Okay. I I hope you don't mind. I'm pushing. We're going to finish it, and it's a little uncomfortable on your butt, and we're moving a little too fast. But I'm going into three-year retreat. You know, let's finish it now. And, you know, you can digest it later. Okay, there'll be a tape. You can get the tape and stuff like that. Okay. It's a very, very holy thing, and you will not get this explanation. It's very hard. I've never heard a lama really go through it carefully. Okay. Okay, here we go on verse 11. Chakta sa shikyongwe tog nam, tante gupa nupa nima, chonir yowe, yige hungi, homa tante namba doma. Okay. This is a verse that praises Tara because she can get the 10 protectors to work for us. Okay? That's what's going on here. They're describing how she can get the protectors to work for us. Now, there are 10 protectors. We went through them on verse 6, and you can check back there. All right? But basically, they're covering the four directions, the four ordinal directions, and then up and down. Cardinal, ordinal, up and down. Okay? Which is, we call in Buddhism the 10 directions. Ultimately, all protectors in Buddhism boil down to compassion. Okay? And anytime you can't sleep well, or you're sick, or you feel like you're being hindered by some kind of spiritual obstacles, or you're depressed, or anything like that, we say build a protection circle. And that's where you see this fire circle around you, like a wall of fire a mile and a half high. They say it looks like a dairy cone. You know, it's spinning. And it, you know, like those, what do you call those ice cream cones? Dairy Queen cone. I'm getting hungry already. But it goes like that. And you just imagine that you're sitting in this midst of this huge inferno, you know. And in the fire, you place your thoughts. And in your thoughts, you think of one other person who's having some problem, like physical problem, cancer, emotional problem, depression, somebody other than yourself. And you imagine that. You try to help them mentally, send them help, and you put that thought into the fire. And then you see this fire around your bed if you're having trouble sleeping or something like that. And then we say nothing can bother you. Like that creates, they say there's little arrows of vajras flying through the fire every time you have a sweet thought about some other person that you would like to help them, and then the demons can't get through. You know, like the whatever's disturbing your sleep or all those. And they say in many of the scriptures that the fire should go under you also, like a big teardrop shape. So you're totally surrounded in this fire, and they can't get through. And then you have to give the fire meaning. If you're just picturing some fire, it doesn't help. In the fire, you put your own compassion. And something detailed about some one other person, okay? Not some vague, compassionate thought about all people, something like that, okay? Very specifically, think of someone else who's having a really bad time, and put those thoughts into the fire, okay? Like that. The fire is made of that, okay? That's general protection. That's what protectors really mean, okay? We don't believe that there are these 10 superheroes who will help you if you ask and won't help you if you don't ask. That doesn't make sense in Buddhism, you know? If they're good guys, they would come anyway. So ultimately, the protection is your own attitude, okay? And they do protect you from worldly spirits. Okay, your own sweet thoughts can drive them out. Okay, that's generally what she's doing. Verse 12. This is another reference to her ugen. Ugen means her the crown, that ornament in her headdress. Okay, gen means ornament. U means head. Okay, head ornament. And I'll read it to you. Chata dawe tema ugen gemba tante shindu bama rapi tuna. Okay. In the first line it says temo, which means tip of the moon. Tip of the moon is a code word here. It represents the moon in the first day after the new moon. Okay? It's the first day of the waxing moon. And there's just a sliver in the sky. Okay? In Tibetan and in Asia this is very auspicious. Okay? It's a new beginning. It's a new day. Like the new moon is considered like bad luck, bad time, okay? But then the first sliver comes out and then things are going to get better. Every day until the full moon. You see what I mean? It's a good day to start things. The Tibetan New Year falls on the sliver. You see what I mean? And so in her head, in the wrathful form, which I don't have a picture of, apparently the head ornament has a sliver of the moon in it. Okay? And that represents a good time to start things. a good start, all right? And it's also sending out light which removes suffering from other beings. That ornament on her head. And then it says, woman with angel of limitless light. Limitless light in Sanskrit, hair. And like she's got this, it's supposed to be this very beautiful black, dark black hair made into sort of like a headdress, and then he's nestled in the top there. Okay, and he's sending out this incredible light. Okay. And so they got this vision of light coming out from her head, the head ornament, and light coming out from Amitabha in the middle of her hair. Okay, and that just again represents that she's removing people's pain with this light of knowledge. Okay, that light would come out and teach you the pen thing. Okay, seriously, if you understand the pen thing, you're out of here. All you have to do is be a perfect person after that. Okay, all right, seriously. Because then you will plant all these karmas in your mind, and you'll see this much different next time we talk, okay? It works. And your body will get younger, okay? You can reverse the aging process, okay? It's one thing to stop, like, back pains will go. I've had students who do this, really. They follow this teaching. I have a student who, like, had frozen joints, foot joints, couldn't walk, and now they're, like, semi-professional dancer, okay? And it just works. Okay, because your channels are straightening out. Every time you avoid a slight negative thought, you straighten out your channels a little bit more. And if they are flowing well, then everything is healthy. Okay, we believe that all health ultimately comes from being pure, spiritually. Okay. So do you have to go to the gym or not? It's good to go to the gym if you've been pure, and then go to the gym. You don't have to work out much at all, and your health is perfect. I'm not kidding. Okay, I'm not kidding. And then if you haven't kept up this rule, this way of life, and you go, you'll hurt yourself. You see what I mean? Something weird will happen. You'll hurt your back or something like that. You see what I mean? It's the driving force behind it working or not working is how your spiritual life is going. Okay? Saves a lot of time. Verse 13. Chasa kapam tame meta bawe tewe una nema yekyang yungkum kune korga dai puni number joma. Okay. This is supposed to be a verse in the commentary that says to her wrathfulness. This is a praise of her wrathfulness. Okay. Kaupe me, one of the great old books of Buddhism is called the Abhidhamma Kosha. And in the third chapter they describe the universe, where it came from, how the beings got onto this planet. And it's really beautiful. They explain the bardo, the death, the stages of death. And then they get into, at the end, they explain how the world is destroyed at the end. And it's beautiful. The sun starts to supernova. And this is written in 350 AD, okay? And then eventually, during the supernova process, it becomes nine times more powerful than it is now. In the early stages of the supernova, the weather starts to change on Earth. Then it gets hotter and hotter. Then human life dies out. Other forms of animal life die out. Then the plants die off. Then the bodies of water dry up. And then eventually the nova gets so hot that the planet itself vaporizes. Okay? And this is a reference to that. Okay? That's how hot her fire is. All right? There's another reference in the Abhidhamma Kosha at the end that says some planets are destroyed by a weapon that their inhabitants make, which creates a fireball and destroys the planet. You see what I mean? I mean, all human life dies out, with a few exceptions, and then there's a long story. But anyway, and that's the other reference to the fire which ends the world. Okay, so this could be either one. And that's in the Abhidhamma. It's very interesting. 350 AD, Master Vasubandhu. Okay. Third chapter at the end. Then it says here at the second half, it says, woman with right leg straight, woman with left leg bent. Okay, apparently her wrathful aspect's probably doing something like that. And she's usually stomping on the ground. And here it says, she destroys the enemy who battles those who love how she turns the wheel. Turn the wheel here means how she teaches Dharma, how she explains the pen thing to people. Seriously, okay? And there are people in the world who enjoy that. you know, when Tara comes, if you get a chance to see Justin Martyr, it is Justin Martyr in Flagstaff. Oh, not the same one. Okay. Anyway, it's probably great anyway. But, yeah, I would go see her. But Justin Martyr is amazing. Anyway, cool. Yeah, cool. So now you're all loaded. You should go. Be nice to go, if you can go. Okay? Anyway, turning the wheel means teaching the Dharma. Why do they call it a wheel? Dharma moves from disciples to teacher to disciple like a wheel. You know, the knowledge turns like a wheel through the hearts of the student, from the teacher to the disciple. See what I mean? So knowledge is passed on, and then that student becomes a teacher, and knowledge is passed on, and that student becomes a teacher, and like that. So that's like a wheel. Okay, that's what turning the wheel means. Okay. In the Abhidharma, that's interpreted as teaching people to see emptiness directly. And that's a long story. They see the wheel is turned when somebody sees emptiness directly, or something like that. That's a long story. Okay. With every move she makes means that enlightened beings can appear on this planet in many forms. We've already said that when Tara reaches Tucson, she probably will look like just a very amazing woman, an American woman or something like that. You see, there will be emanations. She's not limited by nationality, you see? It's not like she can do Chinese and Tibetans, but she can't do Americans. You know what I mean? Okay. Don't think that. Never think that. You know, don't lose the sacredness around you just because it's not Tibetan. You see what I mean? She will appear in this country as a Westerner. Whatever you're attracted to, male or female, that's what she does, okay? And they further have the ability to speak in the wind, to become the wind, to become the sound of the waves at the seaside. To speak as birds, you know, and they say that they can teach you in any of those ways. Okay, so it's very common for Buddhas to appear in non-animate forms or as animals or something like that and teach you. Okay, so they're not also restricted to Americans or Chinese. They can do dogs, they can do wind, they can do trees, they can do dogs, they can do the sound of water dripping, you know what I mean? They do that. They emanate that way, okay? And that's in the scriptures. It's not just made up or something like that, okay? So when they say here at the end, with every move she makes, it's a code word for that ability. It's a reference to that ability. You need Dharma, you're ready for Dharma, you're ready to learn something, she just reaches you. You know, in any way possible, in any kind of stimulus. It can be a voice in your head also, okay? She has the power to do all those things, okay? Not that you should trust all the voices in your head. Okay. All right. 14. Chata sashingala chaki, tiki ninchi shaki duma, chone chente yike hunki, remba dumbo namni gema. Okay. This is a praise to her because she has the ability to send out light from her hung letter. Okay. In her wrathful form, it's not the mantra with around a thumb. In the peaceful form, she has a thumb letter. I'm not going to tell you about it yet, okay? In the wrathful form, she has a different mantra, and it surrounds a hung letter, okay, at her heart. Right? So now when they see a hung here, not like the last hung you saw, okay? This hung represents the central syllable around which her wrathful mantra turns, okay, in her heart. Sashingula Chaki, Tuki Ninching Shabki Duma means she is Diktup, she's doing the Diktup Chakya. Diktup Chakya means, excuse me, but it means like flipping a bird. Okay, it's like, okay, in Tibetan it's like, you know, like that. That's called Dikpa. Dikpa means, okay, like I'm going to slaughter you, okay? It's like a threatening gesture or a gesture like an insulting gesture, okay? Threatening gesture, okay? Ultimately, the word dikpa, meaning bad karma, comes from that. It means wise men would come up to you and say, okay, not a good idea, okay? Any action like that. So she's got this gesture where she's holding back the power of the entire planet. You know, she's like, okay, like that. We got to find her picture somewhere. And she has, in this vision of her, she has hung letters embedded in her palms of her hand and the soles of her feet, okay? And she's blasting away with that, okay? So she's got this forceful mantra seed syllable in her palms and in the soles of her feet, okay? And that's the reference in the second part. Seven realms of the underworld is not the same as the seven realms we had before. Muchadhammabhadra, Master Muchadhammabhadra, is the only person, I think, who explains it correctly. And this is like, the underworld is supposed to be shaped like a cake with seven layers, and each one of those layers has its own name, okay? Each one of the levels has a different name, and different occupants, like Nagas, Yama, and other beings like that. So this is referring to seven layers of the underworld, okay? That's about all, I think. Oh, in this commentary it says, what's coming out of the Hun letter at her, in her palms and in the soles of her feet is a shower of rain in the form of Vajras. Okay? You know those Dorjes, okay? Those little instruments. I see a Vajra. Okay. He's got a Dorje in his hand, okay? This image here, all right? They call it a lightning bolt. That's a bad translation. It means diamond. And a natural diamond crystal has exactly that shape. Okay, I was in the diamond business for 15 years, okay? And a natural crystal, a well-formed crystal, twin crystal, is shaped like that. It's a octahedron, a double octahedron. And it represents diamond. Diamond represents emptiness, okay? Okay. Verse 15. I'll give you a lung first. Chato dema gema shima nyangen deshi chuyu nima so ha onda yanda dembe diba chembo jomba nima. Okay. She's called Lady of Joy, Lady of Goodness, Lady of Total Peace. Okay. Each one of those has a different meaning. Okay. Lady of Joy means she hasn't collected the bad karma to see anything negatively. As, you see, as a result of her watching her own mind, she can no longer see this as a negative thing, okay? Because all of that is coming from your mind, okay? So because she's been careful in the past, no result, we say no result, meaning no bad result. She cannot experience a bad result. That's what it is to be a woman of joy, or a lady of joy, okay? Lady of goodness means, from a causal point of view, she knows that she better keep it up. You see what I mean? She only does good karma. You see what I mean? So when you say Lady of Joy, she's been intelligent enough to avoid putting any bad seeds in her garden in the past. Lady of Goodness means she also knows that she has to watch out to collect, not to collect new bad seeds for the future. Okay? From two points of view. So she's overcome suffering proactively in the second one, and because she succeeded in being good in the past, she doesn't have any suffering now. Those are... It's just a way, it's a way to teach you how to live, okay? It's reminding you in those two innocent lines, Lady of Joy, Lady of Goodness, that if you don't want to see this pen as a dog toy, which would make you a
dog,
okay? By the way, this rebirth stuff is real. Don't think there's a factory in Kansas City making dog bodies and there's Bardo spirits wandering around and they have a big net over Kansas City and you bump into it and they close it and you come down and they cut, unzip the body and they shove you in there. That's not what it means to be reborn as a dog. You have a shift in your perception. And when you see this as a dog toy, you will look down at this and it will be a paw, and then you are a dog. And that's what makes you a dog. You're not seeing this as a paw because you're a dog. Seeing this as a paw makes you a dog. And you do have those seeds in your mind. You do have those karmas in your mind, okay? If they get to the top in the prioritization of your karmic seeds, you're in trouble, okay? Then you'll be a dog. You'll see things as a dog, okay? That's all it means. It's not at all impossible. If you're seeing this as a pen now, you can see it as a dog toy, okay? Because it doesn't have any penness. That is coming from some seed in your mind, okay? And you have millions of years of seeds there. It's just a question of seed management. Yeah, you know, I'm not kidding. How do you keep the bad ones down? How do you keep the good ones coming up to your conscious mind? Okay, that's an art, and it's done by keeping your vows and leading a sweet life. Okay, you You actually never eliminate completely those seats. You just ruin their ability to come up to the top. You see what I mean? The art of staying out of a dog life is to keep those seats down and keep the other seats coming up. Tantric practice is to accelerate the good seats and to bring them up to the top fast. Okay? That's a thing. Okay. Second two lines. I didn't finish the Shema. Lady of Total Peace. Means that she's overcome her negative emotions forever. Okay? That's the definition of Nirvana. Okay, say Nyunyut, Malupa, Pambe, Sosor, Tango. Definition of Nirvana. Okay? Nyunyut Malupa means all your negative thoughts. Anger, jealousy, desire, things like that. Bad desire. Okay? Is desire bad? Not in and of itself. Does the Dalai Lama desire to see you reach Nirvana? Of course. Is that a problem? No. Okay? We're talking about stupid desire. What's stupid desire? I would hurt someone to get what I want. Okay? Big difference. Big difference. One is compassion, one is stupid. Okay? Big difference. Anyway, when you eliminate those forever, you've reached Nirvana. You could reach Nirvana tonight and you would still look the same to us. Okay? Enlightenment's a whole different thing. Okay? That's a big step beyond that. Anyway, she's got all three qualities. Nyangen Deshi Chuyu Nyima means lady who stays forever in the sphere of serene Nirvana. Okay, that's one of those sexy ones that doesn't mean much unless you know what it's talking about. Okay. This verse we have finished with the wrathful aspect. Okay? If you remember, we did one verse on the story of how she came to be. And then I think it's the next six verses were her nice guy aspect. And then I think it's eight verses. Am I right? Seven more? Seven more on her tough guy aspect, which are all physical appearance. And now we're on to her Dharmakaya, her ultimate nature, okay? The emptiness of Tara, okay? We're on to the ultimate nature of Tara. Forget her physical appearance, we finished that, okay? We had how she came to be from that nice sweet drop from Chen Rinpoche's eye. I love it. Then we had six verses on how beautiful and happy and sweet she is. Then we had, how many? Seven verses on how she kicks butt, okay? And now we're up to verse 15, and they're off of her physical appearance, and they're on to her ultimate nature. Okay, what is her ultimate nature? Nyangen Deshi, the sphere of serene Nirvana. Okay. Buddhas have two ultimate natures. Okay. One is emptiness. Okay. By the way, just to confuse you further. Okay. There's the pen thing about the cylinder. Okay. This is a blank cylinder. You have the karma in your mind to see it as a pen. That makes you a human. Okay? Now, this is another cylinder. You have the karma in your mind to see it as an arm. Okay? If you screw up your karmic seed management, meaning either collect new bad ones or don't get rid of your old bad ones, you might see this someday as a dog leg, which makes you a dog. Okay? That's the bad news. I mean, in a sense, the emptiness of this arm is bad luck because it means it's eligible to be a dog leg. It's the eligibility of this thing to be a dog leg, that it's blank. In and of itself, it's just another cylinder, the same as this is. My karma is forcing me to see it as an arm right now, okay? That's bad news. But if you think about it, it also makes you eligible to be or become tar. Okay, so there's a good side to it and a bad side to it. Sometimes I call it the ultimate potential, okay? It's like, right now it's allowing your arm to be a human arm. It's allowing your mind to project human arm onto this empty cylinder, okay? If you didn't do things so well, it could change into a dog's paw and leg, okay? But the good news is that because it's not an arm from its own side, and because it's a result of your projections onto it, you could also become Tara in this lifetime. If you just planted some good seeds there, okay? What happens between here and then? It gets there gradually, okay? You get healthier and healthier. Your body gets lighter and lighter. You can do things you could not do when you were 20, and that's for real, and trust me, okay? You can do things you couldn't do 20 years ago with your body. And then it gets better, you see what I mean? Then it gets into light, you see what I mean? That can happen. What makes it possible? The fact that it's empty. The fact that it's not, from its own side, an arm or a leg or a tar is light. You see what I mean? It's just like this thing. The fact that it's not from its own side, any of the above, is what gives us hope. You see what I mean? If you cleaned up your perceptions, your karma, you'd see it as light. Okay? The fact that it doesn't have its own nature, the fact that it's not a human arm from its own side, is good news. Okay? That's called Buddha nature. Forget this idea of a little guy hiding under your third rib or something like that. It's a totally idiotic presentation of it, okay? The fact that this cylinder is just a cylinder is your Buddha nature. That's your emptiness, okay? You can take that all the way to the bank. It's the only part of you which will still be the same when you become an enlightened being. Thank goodness you have it. That is your Buddha seed or your Sugatagarbha or your Buddha nature. That is, in all the classic scriptures, that what it is, okay? This is good news, okay? By the way, when you get to be a Buddha, you've got this physical body, which is perfect. You've got these other physical bodies that you can send out to millions of places to help people. You've got this omniscient mind, and it's all possible because you have this emptiness. That's called the Dharmakaya. That's called the emptiness body, okay? This verse is a praise of that body, okay? That's why I'm talking about all this stuff. This verse is a praise of her for having a body like that. You already have this body. It's the only thing about you that's enlightenable. The definition of Sugatagarbha in the monastery is enlightenable. You know, Sangye Gyurum, Rikichin. Okay. Anyway, this is a praise of her. Tara, you're so cool. You're empty. Okay. You're just like that pen thing. Okay. It's so cool that you have emptiness, because that means you can see yourself as Para. Okay. Got it? Someday. Okay. No, that's you got it. So the last two, the first two verses are referring to what we call her, the created ultimate nature of her, meaning she's dropped all her negativities. That's created. You also have an inherent ultimate nature, which is the emptiness you already have that you're going to still have when you become a Buddha. Okay? She's got those two kinds of ultimate nature. Okay? And because she has that, her mantra can stop every bad deed you have, every bad karma you have in your karmic pocket from thousands of years back can be destroyed with her mantra. Okay? That's pretty cool. Okay? This is tantra. Okay? If you learn her secret word, her secret mantra, because she has eliminated all her negative qualities and because of her emptiness, her mantra works. And that's what the last two lines are about, okay? When it starts, great being who obliterates even the greatest wrongs we've done with the words of your perfect mantra cloaked in so hot an okay? Very tantric, okay? Why? I'm not going to tell you her mantra, okay? But it starts with and it ends with soha, okay? And that's what they're doing here. And just to make it more confusing, they put the soha first. And they put the last. Very typical, you know? People try to read a tantric book in Tibetan, forget it. You know, it's all code. It's all in code. If you could even come across a tantric translation into English, it wouldn't work. It's all backwards. You're supposed to do this, skip to page 35, go back to 47, line 2, drop 3 lines. If you're doing it with so-and-so, drop 6 lines, go back. They design it that way. It keeps it secret, okay? You can't get tantric teachings unless you meet a tantric lama who's qualified and you do your bit, which is to really serve them and help them and learn everything, train yourself properly, then they'll give you all this stuff, okay? So anyway, her mantra, by the way, mantras are explained in the Pramanavartika, 750 AD, Dharmakirti, Master Dharmakirti. The ultimate scripture on what? Formal logic, Aristotelian logic, come on, boring stuff, okay? Hundreds of pages on syllogisms, okay? We had to learn it every winter for 3 months, for 18 years, okay? Boring. But deep in there is a little chapter called How Mantras Work, okay? And two things have to be there, unfortunately, okay? First thing, the mantra must have been invented by a holy being. So that's no problem. Okay, her mantra has been written by her. Okay, her holy words, her sacred words of power have been invented by Tara, okay? The second requirement is the hard one. They don't work unless the person using them is pure in their conduct, has a pure heart, helping other people, keeping their vows, keeping their commitments, keeping a holy way of life all day long at your office with your family. All sentient beings is easy. Your co-workers and your family are hard. Okay? Okay. And a mantra only works if you have the second requirement. Okay? What they're describing here is that if you lead a good way of life, and if you recite her mantra over and over, if you do her mantra practice, you can destroy old bad karmas in your mind stream. Okay? Those of you, just last weekend we did a teaching, weekend before, in Northern California about this principle. It's taught in many sutras. 150 pages of sutras we went over, describing how this stuff works. But you can go back and destroy your old bad karma. Okay? That's a beauty of this mantra, of this system. Okay? We have finished her Dharmakaya. Okay? I'm going to stop there because the next verse, 16, gets into her, what do you call it? Her chinle. Chinle means her enlightened activities, her enlightened, the enlightened stuff she does. Okay, chinle means that. Okay, so that's from verse 16 to the 21st verse, which is the final verse. They'll be describing her sacred activities. Okay? Yeah. The first shima is normal nirvana, and the second shima is minepe nyangde, which is enlightenment, ultimate nirvana. Okay, it's a good question though.